ولقد آتينا موسى تسع آيات بينات فاسأل بني إسرائيل إذ جاءهم فقال له فرعون إني لأظنك يا موسى مسحورا.
We granted Moses, peace be upon him, 9 clear signs. Ask the children of Israel about it. When these signs came forth, Pharaoh said to him, O Moses, I think that you are bewitched. We granted Moses, peace be upon him, 9 clear signs. This again is in response to the unbelievers' demands to perform miracles and constitutes the third rejoinder on the subject. It will be recalled that the unbelievers contended that their believing in the Prophet, peace be upon him, was contingent upon the latter's performance of certain miracles. In response, they are told that in the past, Pharaoh witnessed no less than 9 miracles in succession. But since he was bent upon not believing, he was unable to change his views even after witnessing all those miracles. One should in any case recall Pharaoh's tragic end, the result of his persistent disbelief. The 9 clear signs of God to which this verse alludes are specifically mentioned in Al-Araf, see verses 107 to 33. They are as follows. 1. The rod of Moses which turned into a serpent. 2. Moses' bright hand which shone like the sun, peace be upon him. 3. The defeat in public of the magician sorcery. 4. The countrywide famine. 5. The flood. 6. The locusts. 7. The frogs. 8. The lice. 9. The rain of blood. All these calamities smote Pharaoh's people in succession. Ask the children of Israel about it. When these signs came forth, Pharaoh said to him, O Moses, I think that you are bewitched. The Meccan polytheists would often brand the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as one afflicted by sorcery. This allegation has already been mentioned in verse 47 of the present surah. You are only following one who is bewitched. Here it is being emphasized how very similar were the people of Pharaoh who had hurled exactly the same charge at Moses, peace be upon him. It is also pertinent to discuss another related issue at this stage. Some of those who reject the hadith have expressed the view that this Quranic verse proves that the entire corpus of hadith is unreliable. They mention the tradition which reports that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was once afflicted with sorcery. Yet the Quran, they claim, refutes this contention. Let us consider the matter more carefully. Here, the Quran states clearly that Pharaoh's allegation that Moses, peace be upon him, was affected by sorcery is false. Nevertheless, in Taha, the Quran says, Then suddenly it appeared to Moses, peace be upon him, owing to their magic, as if their ropes and staffs were running. So Moses' heart was filled with fear, peace be upon him. Taha 20:66-7. The words of the verses suggest quite categorically that at that particular moment, Moses was affected by sorcery. Now, were the rejectors of hadith to follow the logical implication of their contention, would they not be led to contending that here the Quran contradicts itself and corroborates Pharaoh's allegation? Those who raise such objections are presumably not aware of the sense in which the Meccan unbelievers and Pharaoh branded the Prophet Muhammad and the Prophet Moses, peace be upon them, respectively with sorcery. What they imagined was that some enemy had worked magic upon them, causing them to become mad, and it was under the spell of this magic that each of them claimed to be God's messenger, and each of them came forth with a strange message. It is this which the Quran refutes. As for the possibility of a prophet being temporarily affected by sorcery, whether that sorcery affected the whole or just a part of his body, this is not denied by the Quran. Such a temporary effect of sorcery is no different from someone being hurt by a piece of rock which has been hurled at him. Now the opponents of Moses and Muhammad, peace be upon them, did not claim that they had fallen victims to sorcery for just a few moments. And since they did not express such an opinion, there was no occasion for the Quran to deny their contention. For if a prophet is temporarily affected by magic, this is not inconsistent with the station of a prophet. If a prophet, like anyone else, can be affected by poison or can suffer other bodily injuries, so too can he be affected by magic. There is no reason why this should be considered inconsistent with his office of prophethood. What is inconsistent with prophethood is that the mental faculties of a prophet are so overpowered by magic that he begins both to say strange things and act differently under its spell. The unbelievers claimed that this is precisely what happened to Moses and Muhammad, peace be upon them. And again, it is precisely this contention which the Quran emphatically refutes.
قال لقد علمت ما أنزل هؤلاء إلا رب السماوات والأرض بصائر وإني لأظنك يا فرعون مثبورا.
Moses replied, peace be upon him, you know well that no one but the Lord of the heavens and the earth has sent these as eye-opening proofs. I truly think, O Pharaoh, that you are indeed doomed.
Moses replied, peace be upon him, you know well that no one but the Lord of the heavens and the earth has sent these as eye-opening proofs. The prophet Moses, peace be upon him, made this statement to emphasize the fact that the calamities which befell people could only be from God. There was widespread famine across the land. Frogs in large numbers infested a vast area, covering hundreds of thousands of square miles. Food stocks and barns throughout the land were eaten up by weevils. Calamities such as these could not be the result of some magician sorcery or the manifestation of some human being's extraordinary power. It is also significant that each calamity which befell the people did so after Moses, peace be upon him, had warned Pharaoh that such things would happen if he did not give up his obduracy. In such a case, only a lunatic or an incorrigibly obdurate person can entertain the belief that such calamities could have been brought about by anyone other than the Lord of the universe.
I truly think, O Pharaoh, that you are indeed doomed.
The prophet Moses, peace be upon him, had stated quite clearly, and while he was not afflicted with sorcery, that Pharaoh was doubtlessly doomed. This was evident from the latter's total obduracy and his firm refusal to accept the truth.
فَأَرَادَ أَن يَسْتَفِزَّهُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ فَأَغْرَقْنَاهُ وَمَن مَعَهُ جَمِيعًا.
At last, Pharaoh decided to uproot Moses, peace be upon him, and the children of Israel from the land. But we drowned him together with all who were with him.
وَقُلْنَا مِن بَعْدِهِ لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اسْكُنُوا الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ جِئْنَا بِكُمْ لَفِيفًا.
And thereafter, we said to the children of Israel, now dwell in the land, but when the promised time of the hereafter comes, we shall bring you all together.
And thereafter, we said to the children of Israel, now dwell in the land. This brings out the true moral of the narrative. The Meccan polytheists were intent on uprooting the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the Muslims from Arabia. They are told that Pharaoh intended to do the same with the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, and the Israelites. However, what really happened was that while Pharaoh and his people were annihilated, Moses, peace be upon him, and his followers became firmly established in the land, which was earlier under Pharaoh's sway. Now, if the Meccan unbelievers chose to follow in the footsteps of Pharaoh and his people, their end would be no different from theirs.
وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا.
We have sent down the Quran with the truth, and it is with the truth that it has descended. And we have not sent you but to proclaim good news and give warning.
We have sent down the Quran with the truth, and it is with the truth that it has descended. And we have not sent you but to proclaim good news and give warning. It is not part of a prophet's job to somehow persuade those who are not prepared to make up their minds about what is true.
and what is false after they have been able to examine the teachings of the Quran. It is not a prophet's role to work wonders, to make streams of water gush forth and gardens suddenly sprout. All that he is required to do is to present the truth before people and to impress upon them that he who accepts it will benefit and he who rejects it will suffer. We have revealed the Quran in parts that you may recite it to people slowly and with deliberation. And for that reason, we have revealed it gradually to suit particular occasions. We have revealed the Quran in parts that you may recite it to people slowly and with deliberation. And for that reason, we have revealed it gradually to suit particular occasions. This is in response to the detractors' charge as to why God's message was not revealed in one piece, why it was delivered instead at intervals. Is God, they inquire, also in need of time to think, just like human beings, before saying something? This question has been discussed earlier at some length, and so we need not concern ourselves further with it here.
قُلْ آمِنُوا بِهِ أَوْ لَا تُؤْمِنُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ إِذَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ يَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ سُجَّدًا.
Tell them, O Prophet, believe in it or do not believe. When it is recited to those who were given the knowledge before its revelation, they fall down upon their faces in prostration. Tell them, O Prophet, believe in it or do not believe. When it is recited to those who were given the knowledge before its revelation, this refers to those people of the book who are familiar with the teachings of the scriptures and who are conversant with its characteristic style. And say, glory be to our Lord. Surely the promise of our Lord was bound to be fulfilled. And say, glory be to our Lord. Surely, the promise of our Lord was bound to be fulfilled. On listening to the Quran, they instantly realized that the messenger alluded to in the scriptures had come. And they fall down upon their faces, weeping, and their humility increases when they hear recitation of the Quran. And they fall down upon their faces, weeping, and their humility increases when they hear recitation of the Quran. The Quran notes this attitude of the righteous ones from among the people of the book.
قُلِ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِ ادْعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا.
Say to them, O Prophet, call upon Him as Allah, or call upon Him as Al-Rahman. Call Him by whichever name you will. All His names are good. Neither offer your prayer in too loud a voice, nor in a voice too low, but follow a middle course. Say to them, O Prophet, call upon Him as Allah, or call upon Him as Al-Rahman. Call Him by whichever name you will. All His names are good. This is in response to the polytheists' objection to calling God by the name Al-Rahman. They claimed that while they were familiar with the appellation Allah, there seemed no justification for using the appellation Al-Rahman. Their objection was based on their unfamiliarity with this word as a personal name of God. Neither offer your prayer in too loud a voice, nor in a voice too low, but follow a middle course. According to Ibn Abbas, when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or his companions offered prayers in Mecca or recited the Quran, the unbelievers often made noises and even hurled abuse at them. The believers were therefore counseled neither to recite in such a loud voice that would attract the attention of the unbelievers, who might interrupt their prayers, nor to recite in a voice inaudible even to people close by. During the Medinan period of the Prophet's life, when the situation altogether changed, there was no need to follow this injunction. However, whenever Muslims are faced with the kind of circumstances which they encountered during the Meccan period of the Prophet's life, they should follow the directive laid down here.
وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا.
And say, all praise be to Allah, who has neither taken to him a son, nor has he any partner in his kingdom, nor does he need out of weakness anyone to protect him. So magnify him greatly. And say, all praise be to Allah, who has neither taken to him a son, nor has he any partner in his kingdom, nor does he need out of weakness anyone to protect him. This statement is tinged with irony. The polytheists believed that God had assigned various departments or parts of his kingdom to different gods and saints. That God should have to fall back on the support of others implied that God lacked the power needed to control his dominion. It is for this reason that the Quran points out here that God does not lack power so that he would be compelled to appoint deputies and assistants to help him.